This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevrolet, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear, he scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to this Tuesday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. We're going to call this the post-trade deadline edition, so let's welcome in the fellas, former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers, former Blues enforcer and forward Darren Kimball. What's going on, fellas?
No, not much. Just, soaking it all in today.
Well, the fans had we had planned on doing this, but it was funny after we had talked about it. It wasn't that long after we released the show last week. People were like, "Why don't you do the show Tuesday so you guys can cover it?" So the reality is, you've been covering it for 24 hours, really. I mean, at every radio station in town and every media member has wanted a piece of you to get your thoughts one way or the other. It's hard to say it was uneventful, but I mean, that was a move that I don't know that we saw coming. It was, of all the ones we talked about, that was probably the least, but shit happens, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, we had discussed it last week. I really felt that this was kind of the direction that Doug Armstrong was going to go in moving forward, just through the fact that, unfortunately, he's handcuffed with quite a few no-trade clauses. He's handcuffed with some salary cap issues, and so I think the option presented itself to move Paul Stastny to a team that really wanted him, that feel like he can contribute, and it gave the Blues an opportunity to move a player along that they're going to lose at the end of the season anyways for unrestricted free agency. They recouped a first-round pick, and then the Foley kid, who, from what I hear, is one heck of a player and could be an NHLer, regular NHLer one day. He's playing really well in Providence, so, you know, hear a lot of good things. So maybe it's a great move overall. I think they were looking to do other deals. I know that there were irons in the fire all over the place with the Blues and several teams, but, you know, the only deal that got done was the Stastny deal. And so it's interesting now, and Kimby, I want your thoughts on this, is where does this one trade, what does it send, what's the message it sends, and where does this trade leave the team right now?
Well, really, it's not going to be a huge shakeup. I don't care what anyone says. You're going to have to find a guy to plug into that spot for a little bit. You have the same the thing going forward to me is what happens when these kids start getting done with college and juniors. Are you going to bring these kids up, or are the kids out of there? Are they going to come up and play? Are they going to get an opportunity? And all that depends on where the Blues at that point in time. Can they get out of this hole or in? Maybe, I don't know. I can't look into the future, but I was thinking about this, Rivs, the other day, and I'll ask you one question that you got to help me out with. When the new ownership took over the Blues, Stillman and them, was Army the GM at that point in time, or did they hire Army?
Well, you know, I can't remember the timeline exactly. But I know Doug Armstrong was part of the staff here. I think he was an advisor to the GM, maybe, if not the GM. Like I said, I can't remember exactly the timeline, but yes, he was part of the organization.
It was John Davidson, right? And then he was his assistant, and Pekalainen? Or
JD was here with the Checkitz group.
Right, but then, he stayed, and it was – I'm checking it now.
But Larry Plough was here, too. There was a whole thing going on. But And the reason I'm bringing that up is because – I was thinking about this, and I know it's off the trade thing here that we'll get back to a little bit, but
When, oh, wow. He has been here a lot longer than I thought. 2010.
Told you.
Wow.
But here, the thing, when I was, you look back at what Army, where did he come from? He come from Dallas. What was Dallas's team like? And Dallas's team in that time and back in that day could play in this NHL now. They might have been even better in
yeah, this NHL.
But they were good enough to travel with that team was, because it wasn't a, because they had sort of the whole line, it was all grit and that. And that's, where's that Armstrong at? Where these players that he brings in now? Why doesn't he? Where's these guys that he, like the Keens, the Carbonos, these guys that have Ludwigs, the put their goddamn life on the line? Where are these guys? Why don't we bring them in anymore? And I wonder. And all I'm asking, the question I'm asking is, whether whatever he does, he does. He's the GM. I don't know half the shit that he's going through, and I'm just speculating. But I would like him to walk into the thing and maybe take a trip down memory lane and see, where did I come from? What got me to be here? What got me to get to Team Canada's and that? So with a, you know, I was a big GM going through the process, because I think he's missing the boat on some of these guys right now, and I think we need to get back, because that team in Dallas, those players that there, those players have traveled through the Blues systems, and the Blues fans love those kind of players, and I just think we're missing the boat on a lot of it.
Now here's my question to you, and it's I don't know if it's a question so much as it's just a comment, but you know, you look back at the teams that you're describing, and you look back to even the last Olympics, okay, let's not this year, but the last Olympics, where Team Canada played gritty, right? Yeah. They blocked shots, they had guys that taken on roles that they weren't used to, they're penalty killers when they're supposed to be 50 goal scorers and all this stuff. They bought into the system, and Army was part of that group with Babcock and all those guys.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe that type of player is just gone?
No, I don't.
Like, I just don't know. I look at the lineups through and through in the NHL, and everybody now is so concerned about the speed and skill, right?
Yep.
I wonder if that personality of player is getting lost, or if it's just being weeded out.
But if that's what you think, though, okay.
That's not what I think. I'm just asking.
No, but look down the road here in Nashville. They sort of got a team that would be similar to what that Dallas team was like, sort of close. Maybe not quite as nasty.
No, you're right.
But that guy, he brings in Poyle. He brings in these guys, those kind of type of players. You know, he'll go find them. And so and they're at the top of the league right now. And you look with Vegas, all those guys that went through Vegas, you know, those guys are grinders and third liners where they were. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? So I think there's a place for them.
Good point. No, I mean, you know, you just start to wonder sometimes, is that generation of player, and I'm not even talking like 80s or 90s type players. I'm talking, yeah, you know, early 2000s, where you had a combination of speed, skill, and grit. And, you know, you make a good point. Nashville certainly has a lot of character in the lineup. You know, you have
Columbus.
You got some teams. Vegas. So,
you know, Pittsburgh one Stanley Cup. Their third and fourth line. That's all they are.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll all go back to. And the only reason I was asking that about Army is, it's still going to go Rivs, and we get to the summertime here, and you know, we talk about the contracts all the time that these guys have locked in, these no trade deals and the years. It's going to come back to haunt you for a bit, but we're going to go through this process, and I think there's got to be, because the guys you got coming up, the young kids, they're talented, they're but where are the grinder? Where are these guys coming from? You
know? Yeah, I agree. I mean, I look at the players they're bringing in are, you know, high end talent, and you know, the that type of player,
yeah,
but I've yet to see one guy come in and be, you know, touted as third liner.
Yeah,
like there's nothing wrong with that. Like some people think that, oh, third and fourth line's a punishment because you don't play good enough to play first and second line.
Not down, Dave.
These days, like, you identify a player that can play that role for you, and if he is the best third liner that you can find, then that's a real asset.
Yep.
So,
like the Thompson kid.
But he's not a third liner.
Well,
he's not. He's not supposed to be.
No, but what do you mean by third line? If you had a couple top end players, and you put a mucker on the, like in the old days, they used to throw like a Tockett or someone like that would kind of,
yeah.
Now, Rick Tockett's a special player, don't get me wrong, or Brendan Shanahan. They could do it all, but I'm just saying they were grinders and that, and they could play the game, you know, that helps. That,
yeah,
lessens the blow on the third and fourth line where you can get away with stuff. But I just don't see, and I don't know our minor system all that great, but I know the players that are coming. But this kid that they just got in the trade for Winnipeg, he's a big kid and sort of he puts the puck, but he seems like a big mucking type of guy.
He is.
Coming
he's
too,
a so. Straightforward player. He's a grinder. He scores a lot of goals within 10 feet of the net. He likes to crash the net. He finds himself in the dirty areas. So. You know, he might be the guy that we're talking about that comes in. Now, of course, he's still playing college hockey, and you just never know. Unfortunately, the question mark is how long will it take for him to make the NHL, and then after that, how much of an impact will he be in the NHL? So
this is just what happened yesterday. You get rid of Stash. Because you've given yourself 2, 3, 4 more months till the draft gets come, whenever that comes. That's all you've delayed the process here right now. And so Army's going to get and he's going to have to these guys are going to have to answer the bell here. They're going to have to do something. I don't care what anyone says because they're going to have to restock the kitchen and the cupboards that are going on. You know what I mean? They're going to have to.
I just wonder how they do it now.
Yeah.
You know, because as we looked yesterday and there were things that I put out on Twitter that I found, not found, that were posted on Twitter that I was not surprised, but, you know, like, wow, it was an eye opener to me that we had as many no-trade contracts as we do. It was an eye-opener to me that we were up against the cap as much as we are. Now the Stastny contract helps us, but now we retain 50% of that for the rest of this year. So that'll fall off the books once the season's over. But I'm just wondering what direction do we go and how do we get to where we want to be with the current situation? Because you're not, as much as people get on Twitter, Facebook, all these things, and they're like, trade this, trade that, get rid of this. It's not that easy. You just can't. Like, if for some reason, if they're not playing great here, what would make anybody think that they could play great somewhere else? And we want to take on this contract with a no-trade clause. Yeah. So, one, the player has to waive his no-trade, and then once he's traded to us, the no-trade kicks in again. Like, we can't just trade this guy. He's here. So, difficult situations. For me, I'm a believer in it. If you make the moves or the lack of moves like we did yesterday, you need to be headed in a very, very specific direction. And that direction, in my opinion, is waiting on Robert Thomas, get Kostin up here, get Thompson in the lineup as a regular, worry about getting some of your other draft picks, Kyrou, once his junior season's over, get up here, practice with the big club, get him to the minor league team, whatever. Like, we got to get these guys that are the future. We got to get them going.
I agree.
Because in the NHL, you don't have 4 or 5 years to, kind of drag these guys along. The guys who are able to do it, you got to fast track them if you can. So I think the move was good because you're losing that contract anyways. I think it was probably surprising that nothing else came after that. I think it is the biggest thing that I think fans are wondering about.
Yeah.
Well, fans were wanting to hear, Darren had shared a few things on Twitter yesterday. You were ready for more moves.
Oh, for God's sakes, yes.
I mean, never not vocal about that.
But how can you not? They go into Nashville, and I'm telling you what, that was just a disgrace. You know, you're getting to the point where you're going on the ice, and I played on teams like this, and I guess I was part of the shit too. But I would if I went back and looked at it, and I was given that kind of effort, I'd have been ashamed of myself because it's not even. There's nothing going on there right now. And when Army come out and said, a lot of these guys had all this shit on their mind for the track, okay, but come on now. We're professionals here. Let's get going.
Well, I'd have to disagree with Army on that one because realistically, it's a 6-game losing streak. It's not a 2-game or 3-game where it's right around the deadline. So 7 games ago, technically, there's no way these guys were thinking about the trade deadline. No. There's no way. Not with as many no-trade clauses that are in that lineup. I don't think it was a distraction. I really don't. And if he's referring to anything circling around the Hoffman rumors that happened, nobody that is currently under those no-trade contracts that they have was even mentioned in those deals. No. I think maybe Berglund's name got brought up.
I wish Rivs, that's the one kid when I was sitting there looking, I wish they would have went and got him. I just thought, Hoffman, he's putting the puck in the net right now, and I think that could have been something with Shen and him building off this going forward. I think he had something to roll with, but
to my understanding and talking to some people out of Ottawa, there were several teams that were in on the Hoffman kid. To me, it came down to the end, and St. Louis was still hanging around. But it's my understanding that the deal breaker was Tage Thompson. Mm-hmm. I think there was offered some other young players. along with the rest of the package for Hoffman. But it's my understanding, I can't speak like it's true because I don't know, I wasn't in the room or on the conference call, it's my understanding that the Senators wouldn't budge off of Tage Thompson. They wanted him, wanted him, wanted him. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think maybe Doug Armstrong decided that there might be a brighter future by hanging on to Tage Thompson, specifically because you have that many more years where this guy's a restricted free agent that you don't have to worry about leaving your team. So I think there was an effort there. Ultimately, they had to make a decision. And just like anything else, like you said, Hoffman's playing really good in Ottawa right now. He's putting up points. He's playing well with Duchesne. Yeah. So what? Guess what? His asking price went up.
For sure.
Because Ottawa was like, well, we don't really have to get rid of this guy. So if someone's going to give us everything they've got, we'll take it. However, if we get stuck with them or we keep them, it's not a bad thing either.
So when and going off of what you're saying, you know, and shit, we don't know because we're not in the room and you don't, you know, you're just hearing speculation. But it, realistically, if a fan's out there looking at what went on here, so Army didn't get rid of none of this young talent. He hung on to it. So basically, I think obviously you basically declared we're going rebuilding. And I think that's where you're. I think that's where you have to go now.
Oh, I think, and that's kind of where I was headed last week. Yeah. I know it was unpopular for you and Chromes, but
no, I wanted to rebuild. But I wanted to get rid of some shit. And I know what you were saying, how it's hard because of these no trades.
Yeah,
I'm on the rebuild process too, because I've said firmly to you, Rivs, the core here is just not getting it done. It hasn't got it done for a long time, and I think there has to be a change to the core.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, and I think that's a decision the Blues made now that. Hey, we're going to change directions here. How we do it, we're not quite sure yet, but we are gaining a lot of young prospects and a lot of young players and a lot of good draft picks. So hopefully we can pull ourselves out of this hole here sooner than later, but I think that's the plan that they've got.
I want to ask you some questions that I think you can answer that our fans are probably thinking as we move forward with, I'm not even going to use the term rebuild. I don't even know how to describe what we're doing. But I know there's some things that fans are wondering that they would probably like to get educated on how this thing's going to work. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can do multiple things there. Obviously, you might be listening to the show there, which you can do at any time. But you can subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. You can do your shopping through Amazon and help us cover some production costs here. Just click the Amazon banner on your mobile device. You scroll all the way down. Or on your computer, it's down to your right. Click it. You're done with us. You pay nothing extra. We get a very small referral. Find us on social media. We love to keep up with what's got you guys going. You can find us on Twitter. We are either at NHL Show or at STL Blues Podcast. Follow both of those, and you can stay in tune with what we got going. And, again, we're going to follow you back if you're a Blues fan because we like to know what you're thinking. The big ask from us, though, is follow us on Facebook. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. You're not done. Click invite your friends. Scroll through your list, all your friends that are Blues fans, or if they're close to being a Blues fan, just invite them to like our page. We'll help bring them along. Or, again, if they're the diehard Blues fans, they'll really enjoy getting in on some of the conversations we have there as well. Find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast, or you can find us with the big network, lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Soon you'll be able to hear us on Yo Radio, the newest radio internet radio station, with lots of great stuff on there as well. Again, producers Brian Kroc, Andrew Ellen, they do so much for us behind the scenes. Thank you guys. Of course, our show, as each week, is brought to you by our good friends Randy, Stephanie Green, the Innovated Companies. Find them at innovatedcompanies.com. Of course, you can find all three arms underneath that umbrella. We got the Innovated Construction Team, Innovated Heating and Cooling, and of course, Innovated Electric. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. My man Randy Green, if he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And I promise you, his daughter Stephanie, you guys both met her, she's going to make sure he's organized and in tune with what he's got going on. So make sure you check him out. All right, Jamie, here's something that I think fans are wondering how this works. So let's first throw that rebuild word up. Would you call what they're doing, or do you think they're rebuilding or restructuring?
Well, I think it needs an overhaul for sure. I mean, like
a complete overhaul?
Well, I don't know about complete overhaul, and I don't know what a complete overhaul really is. I mean, when you talk about it, you have a group of guys that unfortunately it just hasn't gotten the job done. So now you have a good influx of youth that is literally knocking at the door to come up to the NHL and, you know, have their chance at playing and being an important part of the team. I think it's time to maybe have some guys step aside or move pieces out of the way to let these guys play. If that's a rebuild, then yeah, that's what they're doing. You know, they, I don't think it's a full rebuild where they go, okay, we're getting rid of everybody and we're going to be terrible for the next 3 years. But, you know, years four and five, we're going to be great. I don't think that that's the direction they're headed in. I think that they're headed in a direction where they're going to really, really try to be competitive for the next little while here. But much like, and I use Tampa Bay Lightning as a, I guess, an example, because they had a really great season, and then Steve Yzerman had to retool everything in there, get rid of some salary, change some contracts, bring in some young players, and they weren't as good for, what, a year or two? And then now they're back where they need to be. Now, when they weren't as good, they weren't bottom of the barrel. They were just middle of the pack, you know, nothing fantastic. But now they're, you know, they're seeing the results of their decisions. And I think that the Blues have the opportunity to kind of, you know, emulate that, because they have enough young talent, much like the Lightning did. They've got a few guys that are under contract that are, you know, older, that maybe they move on or buy out or do some, you know, some tough decisions that they have to. And I think that while they're doing all this, I think that they can remain competitive in the NHL. Does that mean compete for a Stanley Cup? No, it means stay competitive within the league so you're not embarrassing yourselves. And, you know, 3 years from now, maybe we're the Tampa Bay Lightning of the Western Conference. And I, like I said, I just use that because I really like what Stevie Yzerman did there in Tampa to get them from the top of the heap to the middle and now back to the top of the heap.
The term, and again, I saw some of the stuff you were talking about on Twitter yesterday, and you can be too. The term that has come up on this show and you hear other people say is this core. I mean, the core can probably include a few guys, could probably extend to a few guys. And I'm not even going to ask you to, like, say who you think should definitely stay and who should go. I think that's silly at this juncture. I guess where I'm going with this is it's going to include a young mix, and it's time
to
some degree. Now, I think what Blues fans don't know, and I don't, and I think we would like to know, when you know, you hear about it more in baseball because it's so heavy on offseason, things like that. When you start calling a kid up in hockey, how does that work for the quote-unquote clock? Does it matter? Does it start his clock on as soon as you can lose him? Because we know there's so many implications as far as salary goes. So when you hear a guy signed his 3-year entry-level contract, what does that exactly mean?
Well, all that means is he signed an agreement with the team. The team owns his rights. Now, until he plays an NHL game, that contract, the actual salary part of that contract won't kick in. So if he has a signing bonus, he can be paid increments of signing bonus because he signed that entry-level deal. But if we had a young kid that signed a deal coming out of college right now and they wanted to play him in the NHL before the end of the season, that would burn a year of his eligibility, meaning that that player would be able to go to free agency at 26, 27 sooner than if they waited till next year to bring him into the mix.
Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. So the question then would be, would you guys burn a year at this juncture for some of these kids? Does it make sense?
I don't think it makes that much of a difference right now. To me, like, they have affiliations with the Chicago Wolves and the San Antonio Rampage right now in the American Hockey League. The Wolves are, once again, a team that looks like they can compete for the championship, and San Antonio is right there knocking at the door to get in the playoffs. In my opinion, you take the players that you want to divvy them up, however that is, and you worry more about getting those guys some experience at the next level. It's baby steps to me. Like, you don't want to take a kid, like, let's say the Thomas and the Kyrou kid. You don't want to take them, just throw them in the fire, and then burn a year of their eligibility, their contract, and it wasn't good, it wasn't worth it, or someone got injured, or they weren't ready, or some other crap like that. Like, I'd rather take them, put them on a 25-game tryout in the American League, and let them get their feet wet, play against older, bigger guys, stronger guys, and see how they do. And then if either of those teams is competitive into their championships or their playoffs, then that gives them even more experience. Therefore, come training camp next year, you have a little bit more of a proven product that you're able to maybe give a shot to rather than just kind of guessing at it.
Now, Darren, you've mentioned on the show from a business standpoint, and I wonder how much this plays into it. Jamie can probably add on to your thoughts on this. You talk about the young kids and trying to pay them all at the same time. So would calling up multiple kids at the same time be a bad choice? Like, would you try to stagger it so that you don't have them all hitting free agency at the same time?
That's a thing. But here, and the thing that scares me with Jamie saying on that, you're sending them down to two places that we've talked about many times on this show. It's not your own farm team, so you don't want to bring a Thomas in and a Kyrou in your things, and all of a sudden they get sent down there, and all of a sudden the coach down there, for whatever reason, because obviously Vegas is going to manhandle what's going on in Chicago, you're going to get a bad experience out of that. And I'm not saying it happens, because if these kids are as good as they'll probably fit in there somewhere. But when you have your own farm team, you dictate what's going on with that process. But where you're going, when you want to bring these guys in, I don't know if you do it this year. You always want to bring it into a good environment. As far as I'm just talking the NHL. I'm not talking down the minors. If you're going to bring a kid in here to give him an experience, but if you got some veterans that are sitting around here and things aren't going their way, I can just imagine what the conversation is in the dressing room on that shit. You want to keep a positive attitude going in the right direction. So I don't know if you bring them up. You want to look at them. Obviously, management wants to see what they can do against the big boys, because you're in the best league in the world. So you want to see how they perform, because the anticipation that you've been sitting here watching them do their numbers in junior, and Jamie, me and you have seen this a million times. I've seen guys put up hell of big numbers, and all of a sudden they get to the big times playing against the number one, number two defenseman in the world. Things just don't quite go that way sometimes. So,
yeah,
I know the coaching staff and the management want to see what's going on, but – it's a business you're running now, and they run it as a business. And unfortunately, that's where it's at. So they're going to be careful with which way they're going here. I know that.
Yeah, and I think the big thing to remember here is, if we're thinking about our American League affiliates, Colorado shares San Antonio with us. In fact, Colorado is the primary affiliate with San Antonio. We're kind of an add-on. And as it sits right now, Colorado's not in the playoffs either.
They're right there.
So guess what? They're young prospects. They're everything that – they're guys that – guess where they're headed?
Yep.
Why? Because they're going to want to get them that experience.
For sure.
So then guess who it pushes out?
Yep.
Our kids. Now, however, the flip side of that, okay, the flip side of that is Vegas is going to make the playoffs. They have their minor league affiliate in Chicago. They always want to win championships in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, doesn't matter who they're affiliated with. The owner there, Don Levin, wants to win championships. So maybe because the Blues have so many great young prospects, maybe because Vegas was not going to get the cream of the crop back down to Chicago, maybe they say, hey, St. Louis, we really like your young prospects. We really like Thomas and Kyrou. We're going to play the hell out of them because we want to win a championship here. Yep. Send them to Chicago for us. And then they'll get that experience. So I guess it's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts right now. However, I think it circles back to the main thing that we've talked about. It's really an unfortunate situation that we don't have a primary affiliate so that we can dictate these things. During a time of rebuild and all this stuff that we're going through right now, God, would it be nice to have your own team to say, hey, we're going to marinate these guys. We're going to farm these guys. We're going to build them up. We're going to put them in these situations. So next year, come training camp, we have an asterisk next to three kids because we think they can make the jump. Right now, it's difficult. Maybe they're not getting that ice time. Maybe they're not getting the situational time. Maybe they're not getting the coaching they deserve. It's all big what-ifs, and that I think that worries me more than anything. Now, knowing that we're going to be going this direction where the young guys are going to be such a huge part of this in the next couple of years, I want to feel like these young guys have been given the proper coaching, the proper information, the proper support to get them here. So that worries me the most.
I'll tell you, be honest with you, when their season gets done, these guys juniors and that where they're sitting at, I don't think it would be anything on their year, but just to come up here for a week or two and just to see what's going on.
They do that a lot. They bring them up. They don't put them on the ice with the regular team. They let them work out. They let them see the videos. They get on the ice after, work with the skills coach.
I would go there to try to get them.
Oh, Black Aces.
Exactly. And I lived on that, so.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, I wasn't a Black Ace. I was a rostered player.
Well, now you got to tell our listeners what a Black Aces is.
Oh, God. The Black Aces back in the day for Kimby and I were playoff time would come, and you'd have your regular team go out on the ice to practice, and then as soon as they were done, the Black Aces would come on there. And the Black Aces were guys who weren't playing at all from the NHL team or call-ups from the minors, because the minor league team was out of the playoffs. So they always like to have a group of guys around in case of emergency. You have to have guys that stay in shape, and the younger guys who maybe had a chance of playing the next year but they just get bag skated.
And Cromer, you could run those practices because a moron could run them back in the day. Down and back.
Now that has changed.
Back then it wasn't.
Because obviously the league has evolved, but back then it was literally like, I'm not kidding you, the guys, the Black Aces would get called up and you'd go out drinking. And then you just knew, like,
no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You go drinking the next morning, you'd be like, okay, well, we're just going to get bag skated. So who the hell cares? You know, make sure we're all skating the same speed. Don't bury the one guy who got really drunk last night. And so it was kind of this little cat and mouse game that went on.
None of the scenes like in Youngblood where they get the guy drunk and the next day when I'm sure you guys never did that then.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. Except for when I was a Black Ace, so one time, you know, all of a sudden the phone rings in the hotel room. It's Mike Keenan. You're going tomorrow night. I was like, what? He goes, can you play the right side? I said, sure. He's like, all right, you're in. Went, well, okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, boys. I'll have to cash out here.
Oh, doctor. Now, on that note, Jamie, if I'm not mistaken, is there a minimum number of games they can play where it doesn't burn a year? Is it like 9 or something? Have I heard that right? Or like, is it 8 or 9 and then it won't? Because you hear that sometimes at the beginning of the year.
That's when they keep.
At the start of the season, I think so. I'd have to go check in the rules. But to my knowledge, I think that once you get to this part of the season, after the trade deadline, if you bring a guy up, or you sign a junior kid and he plays any amount of games, I think it burns a year of the deal.
The one I'm asking, and it's new to me, I don't get into the contracts anymore, but I saw them talking on there that a guy might get called up for a PTO, so that's a personal tryout.
Yeah.
So if you're on a personal tryout, then actually maybe you're not on a contract.
You can't do that in the NHL.
Can't do it in the NHL?
No, you cannot. You can do the PTO to start the season, mm-hmm. And that's it. And then you have to, I believe, by the time the regular season starts, before you play one regular season game, you have to sign a real contract.
I got you.
Now, in the minors, in the American League, you can sign a 25-game tryout, PTO. Yep. And what that does is, for like the junior guys and the college guys, it's a great buffer for those teams because then they don't get signed to a real contract. They come in, they play under the terms of the professional tryout offer, and that's usually X amount of dollars, whatever they determine that can be. I mean, tryout could be anything you want for the amount of salary they're going to make.
Yep.
But they have a 25-game limit. Now, if they only play 10 games, it's fine. It doesn't matter. You know, it's once they get to game 26, which they won't get there because the season's already too far gone.
Yep.
I mean, they've already played so many games. So the key to that is you want to put a 25-gamer on a kid that you're bringing up that you're maybe not sure you're going to sign him to an NHL contract right away, or maybe he's got another year of junior and you don't want to burn a contract on the guy. So lots of little things like that.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you right, I think they have to decide with these young guys if at this juncture a year's worth it. And to your point, you're talking so many years out, and if it makes such a major difference that you don't really know if it matters right now.
I wouldn't do that right now. I mean, to me, the quickest road to success would be get these guys' feet wet in the minors. Let them play a lot of ice time there. I mean, obviously, unfortunately, we talk about how not having our own team in the minors dictates a lot of this. But like Kimby alluded to, it's not always the greatest situation to bring in a young guy. If the team, let's say the team doesn't respond, let's say they don't turn things around, let's say it continues to be not great. Well, that's not a great environment to bring a kid into. You know, you usually want these to be positive experiences for the player. So I don't know. I think that I'd be very motivated to get them in at an American League level and get their feet wet. I don't think I'd be motivated at all in getting them up here to the NHL if things have not turned around. If the Blues go on a 6-game winning streak, things could be different.
Okay, so let's do, you know, typically we go on the bench with Butter for the Tommy Brown Tax Resolution Specialist. Fans want you both to address something that happened yesterday. You're not going to get out of this one. You're going to have to address this. So let's go in the locker room with Butter, our tax resolution specialist. We had a tweet yesterday come out from I'm not going to say he's a hockey expert. He admittedly isn't even a media expert. He is a producer on a local radio station that says he has a guy that has never failed him. Anything he's ever told him has been true. He took a beating from Kelly Chase on Twitter last night about his comment. And he's not backing down from it. He's saying, look, admittedly, I'm not a media guy. Admittedly, I'm not in the locker room, but I trust my source. And he says the locker room is divided, and it's,
You've got the you've got the Steen group, and you've got the Pietrangelo group, and it all stems from Steen not getting the C. So now, A, I'm not even sure I want to ask you if it's true or not, but what I'm more concerned about is, I mean, what do you do with something like that?
Well, look, I don't know if anybody knows 100% what's going on in that locker room except for the players.
The guys in the locker room.
You know, I mean, even for Kelly Chase to jump in there and comment on it, like, I understand that he's passionate and whatnot, but he doesn't even know, really. Like, he might think he knows, and I might think I know, and Kimby might think he knows, but we don't really know. So, you know, to talk about, I don't think it's a secret. I think that whether it's one side against the other or this or that and the other, I mean, that sounds more Hollywood to me than anything. That, right. Oh, we have this side of the room, it's divided. Whenever I've been in a locker room that's divided, so to say,
get divided?
They do, but it's not like that. It's not like a gang war where this is one half over here is these guys, one half over here is another guy. It just means that not everybody is happy with the way everybody's playing or what they're bringing to the table. And that's all it means. So if you have a divided locker room, it just means that at any time of the week, you could have different guys upset with different guys. It just means that nobody's thrilled right now, and that locker room isn't as healthy as it could be. So I don't know, and I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying this is how it kind of rolls. And so for somebody to have the inside scoop on that, has anything told me different lately? Like Braden Schenn makes a comment yesterday after Stasny being traded. I forget his exact quote, but he certainly didn't seem very happy about the fact that Stas was gone. He kind of alluded to the fact that it's the wrong guy that got traded. So what does that tell me? I don't know, but it kind of gives me an answer.
You know what? When you go divided too, and you got to be careful. People that are like what Rivs was just saying, you can have someone as close as Rivs and Chaser, and these guys are like guys go in different directions. When practice is over, a group goes here, a group goes there, and that's just a lot of time is based on if they're married. A lot of time it depends on their age. You know, all that goes on. So you know, you get guys talking in certain things, but at it, now, I don't know these guys from my hole in the ground. I don't know what the hell they do in their lifetime. But usually, even when I played, there was a group of young guys. We go our way. Old guys would go their way, especially at home. On the road, usually you'd all go together because that's your time to connect. But when you come back to the circle, everyone come back for the same reason. They were there for the same reason. They were there to play hockey. And so all those individual shit went out the door. Or groups went out the door because you weren't playing for one. You played for everybody back in the, you know. So I don't know what would be going on in the room. Like I said, I have no goddamn idea. But if Team Steen is in the dressing room right now, he took a hit yesterday because that was his best buddy going out the door. So his best buddy went out the door there. So, but I don't, like I said, and Petro and these, they don't talk much. So, you know, Shen's about the only guy that's come out and said anything of anything. So who the hell, you know.
Which was surprising. Yeah. Like I said, the way he worded it was very, you know, is he giving us information or is he not based on what he said? And, you know, for the media source to state that maybe he's stating the obvious. Maybe he is. Maybe it's obvious to some people that there is a divide in that room or that people aren't necessarily, it's not a big kumbaya in the room, which, let's be honest, that's probably not going to be happening right now.
But and look at it this way, though. So Mr. Stasny, who's spent his whole damn life in St. Louis, basically, and they come to him, and he's got a no-trade clause, and they come to him, and they say, do you want out of it? And so Stasny, knowing where the Blues are right now, possibly where they're probably going, what's going on around, he has probably a pretty good pulse on the situation, what's in the locker room.
Yeah, this is true.
Why did he waive it? Why did he want out?
Does he want to get voted off the island voluntarily?
Like, one is obviously Winnipeg's a top contender to maybe take a run at this damn thing. I get that, but You're up low, you know, it's only for 2 months he's going down the road too, but probably not just 2 months because I'm pretty sure he's not coming back here at the end of the season. I don't believe, unless you're going to, I don't think you're coming back.
No, but what you're saying it holds water though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I have a no trade, I'm from born and raised in St. Louis and everything I know is St. Louis.
Family, friends.
Why would I waive that to be traded?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there's professional reasons to do it because maybe it increases his chances to get a better deal moving forward. However, most of the time guys aren't as eager to leave what they, especially all they've known. I mean, I know he's in Colorado, but born and raised, you know what I mean? The St. Louis thing. So maybe when you put these pieces together, Crumbs, when you start adding up these little things, like if we were in a CSI office and we had all these little quotes and things that have happened and trying to put it together, maybe that leads us to believe that it's not one big happy family in there. But guess what, guys? You just lost six in a row.
Yeah.
And you haven't been great the second half of the season. So it shouldn't be all roses in there. It shouldn't be rainbows and unicorns.
No.
So, you know, I don't necessarily think that the comment about the locker room being divided was bad. I don't necessarily think it's wrong. I don't know if it's right. But what's difficult is, you know, and it's hard, and I want to defend Chaser a little bit here, but at the same time, we have to be very careful because we're former players. We're in the media now, especially Kelly. He's heavily involved with Camo X and all that they do. So it's difficult to try and fight all the battles back for your team. Like, I know where he's headed because Chase used to fight all the time for his teammates. Very difficult for him to take that stance now and fight for the team again when, you know, he's a member of the media, for one thing. And second of all, he may not be 100% of what's going on in that room either. So I don't know. It's tough. I think both sides, they're just, you know, you make a comment, you live by it, and he's obviously standing by his comment. And, you know, certainly Kelly wasn't backing down from what he said. So it is what it is. I know, of course, in my life, the best thing to do is stay out of the middle of it.
Well, you know what, though? When you go into this, Gromes, and I've been on bad, like when we were in Quebec, and you had some old guys that were there, but you had a lot of young, like Joe Sakic and them were getting, they were just entering the system. So, you know, it was going in the right direction, but you still had a lot of guys that were there. And usually, in any dressing room that I've been on, like in Quebec, when things weren't good, the focus wasn't on each player. It was there was sort of going, you're going towards, there might be a section of guys that were going against the coach.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really against, it wasn't player fighting against player because the coach is making the decision. Maybe the players thought they should play, were better than the other player, and that shit goes. But really, before it gets to player or division and division, usually that shit starts directing towards the coach and the management before ever getting towards the players, I would think.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you the fan perspective because that seems like that's how this has been going lately, and I think fans, by judging by the reaction, are enjoying these comments to you guys and then your reactions, and that's this. You're not going to convince me there's not an issue because I've seen too much stuff and heard too much stuff. Number one, you can watch the games and see the reactions sometimes on the ice, and you sit there and go, what? I mean, where is everybody? I mean, that's not how this goes, so something's wrong. And then you just fall off a cliff. You're not going to – and then you hear stuff, and I don't care what anybody says. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's the number one thing. I joke about this all the time. Darren, I think you know my brother. He's been a detective his whole life. He says it's the number one saying that's absolutely true. Where there is smoke, there's fire. 17 years, never a coincidence. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this, and this is what I want fans to understand, that I understand even as a fan, which I don't think fans get. To your point, you know 1,000 times more than I or any fan, and yet you're sitting here saying, we don't know for sure.
There's no way to know.
But on that note, for all those out there now that want to discount what this other guy said and want to take what Chase said as gospel, here's what I say to you. I'm not saying what Chase said was bullshit, but what I am going to tell you is this, just like I say about a coach or anybody else, what the fuck do you think he's going to say? Do you think Kelly Chase is going to come out and go, yep, there's a big problem in that locker room, and let me tell you who the problems are. What do you think he's going to say? Because he's played just like these guys have played, and they know better than anybody that when this shit hits the media, the best thing to do is squash it, and then probably my guess would be maybe you guys as adults, players, guys that have a responsibility say, hey, guys, cat's out of the fucking bag here. We need to clean this up.
Let me just say this. So when you go to where you're going, and Chromes, I'm agreeing with you. I'll go with you, and I don't know what's going on, but hockey's sort of like the real world too. Now, I work in the real world, and I see the shit that goes on there in a job where you're in a union job and all that nonsense goes on. You know, you got guys going out in different islands on this team, I believe. You know, Petro, he's your captain, and maybe he's getting pushed back from Steen and these guys. Where's Jake Allen sit on this thing? Because I'll guarantee you, he feels like he's been thrown out in an island himself. Part of his own doing, part of he's probably thinking management threw him down the river, and they're all. And when you get stuck in there, you start trying to fight your way out of this thing because you're surviving for your hockey is a short life, and if you start getting pushed over or things are starting going wrong and people start coming, you got to fight back somehow. And whether it's a group that's coming with you or you're going individually, but I see this Blues organization where it's, I'm speculating, but I think you're got different splinters coming, and they're not all meeting in the middle here.
Well, one thing, too, that we haven't discussed yet that everybody's been begging for, right? We're begging for somebody to stand up and say something. Who the hell's going to be the leader? Get up and talk or call guys out. Well, guess what? That's, you know, if I'm calling guys out, maybe that's the divide. Maybe, oh, there's a divide in the room because player X called out player Y and they're both like big time players. Well, guess what? I mean, we've been begging for that, or I don't know, but the fans and the people surrounding the team, where's that guy who stands up and calls out his teammates? Yeah. Well, maybe that's happening. And maybe this is what we're discussing. Maybe somebody didn't like what the way one leader is operating as opposed to the other leader. And when you have two leaders, so to say, in the room that may be at odds over their opinions or whatnot, it can be looked at as a divide in the room. But it's got to be, we have to be careful for what we wish for here, right? We've been begging, or the general people have been begging for somebody to step up and say something. And now that it happens, now we're identifying as, oh, there's a problem in the room. Once again, I don't know. I'm not in that room. And I'm just throwing it out there.
And just being a National Enquirer, that we're going to be a National Enquirer here for a second.
Well, right? That's what, I mean, that's what we're doing, kind of.
But it's kind of funny that that comment come out just lately. Or was it yesterday? Come out yesterday that guy said that?
Yeah.
Well, you just went through a team meeting. So what's going on your things? And I'm pretty sure that in that team meeting, who knows what come out of the bag there? You know, was there a confrontation in there, or was it a one sided or what? You don't
know. And was that confrontation necessarily negative?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's negative.
But I'm just saying, so you had a meeting. This guy comes out with whatever speculation, whoever he's getting fed by. And don't kid yourself. You could be, the guy could be spot on. I'm not saying he's not. He could be. You might have a mole in the room that's got going somewhere. I don't know.
A lot of times over the years, I'll tell you what, a lot of times with those things come working out, and those guys are right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he is, but if you work your way down, or you find that usually, like Chrome says, where there's smoke, there's fire. So even if he's slightly right on it, you know, at the end of the day, guys, it happens. Just like anything in life, you have a team, you have a business, you have a family.
I was going to say, you guys are like family. You guys are like a bunch of brothers in there, really, aren't you? And you don't like your brother all the time,
right? No, I mean, you don't get
along. Especially when you're with him every day.
It happens. And as far as a divide in the room, that divide goes away when you hit the ice. I'm telling you, I've said it before that there's been teams I've played on that the, you know, guys didn't get along, yet at the end of the year, they were drinking out of the cup together.
Yeah.
So it's... You know, it is what it is. I don't know. I think this is being made up into more. It's just another side note of something that's going on, and it's only because we're not performing great.
And, you know,
if we were winning six in a row, they'd be like, "Ah, that's great. These guys are challenging each other."
Yep.
You know,
I'm going to tell you something that I thought was interesting. The other night when Allen got jeered or whatever here, booed, cheered, whatever you want to call it, and the fans took exception to some of the things the fans said, I understand fans getting defensive, but here's what I'm going to say to you on that, too, fans. What the hell do you want these guys to say?
Yeah, no, yeah, that was silliness.
They didn't like it.
That goes on everywhere, though, the jeering of the goaltender.
But that was silliness. Yeah. For the fans to react like, oh, these players, how dare they reprimand
us. That's not what they were saying. They were standing up for their guy. I actually thought, holy shit, they're coming together. They're standing up for their guy.
That's the catch-22, right? So if the players don't say a damn word about it, they're like, see, they don't even like Jake Allen. Nah,
yeah.
And now they stand up.
That's what happened to the whole thing, though. At least Petro, being the captain, he stood up for a damn goalie.
What do you want a captain to do?
Yeah, but then the fans were mad at him. Yeah,
They're mad at him for being a captain. Yeah, and I didn't understand that, and I didn't
know why.
Feel like
it's because they're losing games, and then at that point, people are just looking for any way to pick a fight.
Yep.
I never heard one guy say, you can't boo. Never heard a guy say that don't boo.
No, they just said we weren't happy with them booing our teammate. They didn't say don't show up. They didn't say don't boo. They didn't say, you know, give us your money back.
That thing there, though, and Ben Petro, I hope Petro learns from this one, though, because it's gone on in the golf world here in the last week when Thomas wins that, you know, and he does what he does.
Yep.
The fans, because they're all, every fan in the world, they're all going to come back to you as, we pay for you guys. And that shit's going to, so you might as well just stay out of that process and don't
but
get
you know
all
what,
that
in
fight.
Defense of that, Kimby, in defense of that, he didn't say.
Oh, he stuck up for his player.
He didn't say you're not allowed to. He didn't say you don't have the right.
I don't understand.
I'm not
said I don't like it.
I know. I understand that. I'm just saying you might as well not even get into that little thing because someone's going to spin that damn.
No, I know. But you know what I'm saying? Like he just said I don't like it.
He was perfect what he said.
That's all. And
do you expect him to like it?
Yeah, well, if he liked it, that would be get, then we want to talk about a divide in the room. You know, like,
no, he was perfect on what he said. I thought he did a class A job on it. But I'm just saying, once you get injured, you know, the people can spin this shit.
At the end of the day, when you're losing hockey games or you're not successful, everything falls under the microscope.
Correct.
And no matter what happens, is going to be deemed as, oh, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I know Blues fans now, the last question they're going to want you guys to answer before you get out of here is, you know, now what? You kind of have the now what. You know, last year, you know, we traded Shattenkirk and we kind of went on a run. I'm not saying that's going to happen again. Things are a little bit different. But so I know fans are going to want to hear from both of you guys on, okay, what can we expect now? But more importantly, you know, in your opinion, what do you see happening down the road? Because you're, again, Kimby had put it out on Twitter yesterday. Jamie, I think you were pretty realistic about some things too, no doubt about it. This is probably the first domino to fall. There'll be more changes coming down the pike. I don't know how he does it. Darmong, Doug's an at you very, you know, you did some research yesterday and found out that it's going to be a tough job for him to do what he's got to do. Kimby, you'd like to see some of these changes. So I'm going to let you guys talk about that. I want to remind everybody, though, we want to welcome on board Adam's Smokehouse. You know, you can find them. Great barbecue, tremendous. 2819 Watson Road, St. Louis, Missouri. AdamsSmokehouse.com. You know, I love these guys because right now, instead of just focusing on themselves, what they want us to remind you is March 3rd is Catch a Dream Day at Adam's Smokehouse. Raffle tickets are only $10. The winner receives a two-night St. Louis staycation at the beautiful Clifton Heights Inn Bed and Breakfast. Great stuff. So there's all kinds of different prizes. Enjoy an evening watching a hockey game, Minner Arena, with food from Adam's Smokehouse. All kinds of great things. All the proceeds go to Catch a Dream Foundation. They provide once-in-a-lifetime dream hunting and fishing trips to children who suffer from life-threatening illnesses. Just another one of these great organizations doing great things for, God, just unfortunate situations for kids. And we want to thank Adam Smokehouse for all they do. Gentlemen, I'm going to let you take it over now and talk about where we're going with the future, especially since some of that's going to involve kids. Obviously, Jamie, amateur hockey, synergyhockeyskills.com, and, of course, our friend Nelson LandServices.com, so heavily involved in the amateur portion of the show. So, obviously, you can tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, I know I heard you and Kimby talking about as you're finishing up your hockey season here. You guys had a win last night, but synergyhockeyskills.com getting ready to roll. So you guys can take it away, talk a little bit about the about where we go from here with the youngsters.
Well, Kimby, you want to take the floor on this one first?
You know, I, as I've been saying, and I think we've been talking about the whole show, Rivs, it's obviously, I think Army has proven that he's going to go down a road here that we're rebuilding. And then the question you come back with is, you know, you got all these. I can always get rid of a no trade clause on any hockey team. I can get rid of that in a heartbeat, and you know that as well as I do. I can just tell the kid, if you want to live with this, you live with it. I won't play your ass anymore, and
yeah,
you can
send them down or whatever.
So you're going to get rid of that shit. So how the no trade's not the problem. Getting rid of you're going to. I think though. And I wonder, Rivs, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you went and rebuilding and you brought in four or five new young kids and you're only paying them a bare minimum on them, you know, they're not making a lot of money, so that's going to help you towards the salary cap. And then you can sort of choke these guys down, and maybe you could say, I'll get rid of these guys, and maybe I can eat some of this salary just for a little bit till my rebuilding process can go into play. Does that make the fans happy? No, but as we've had the conversation, you've pointed out many times to me here lately, If you're in a 10-year rebuilding process and you can not guarantee me, but you got a shot to win a Stanley Cup of three or four of them or whatever as you build that process up, maybe that's the way that the Blues got to get there. I don't know, because there's some 3 or 4 year contracts that they got to get out of here, I believe. Anyway, that's my take on it.
Yeah, you know, when I looked at the list of guys that, you know, potentially would be guys that they would like to move on somewhere else in order to make room for youngsters or rebuild. You know, their contract term wasn't that horrible as far as length of the contract. So like you said, in a year from now, come trade deadline time, maybe you can eat some of that contract and move him because he'd only have another year left. Some of these guys only have, 2 years left on their deal. If that's the case, then it gets a lot more manageable come second half of next season. Even in the off season, it might become more manageable come the draft when a lot of action happens nowadays. So I don't think the outlook is bad. I think that, you know, they're in a little bit of a pickle right now as we sit currently, but I think that once the off season comes, I think there's movement that can be made. I think there's contracts that can be traded. I think there's youngsters that can be brought in, and certainly they're going to go looking around the unrestricted free agent market and see if they can bring in somebody to help turn this team in the direction that they want to go. Now, all that being said, maybe this little shakeup here right now, maybe it changes things. Maybe these guys catch fire. Maybe they start to play better. Maybe they start to play hunger. And maybe some of this is, at the end of the day, just a moot point to talk about it anyways.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that we don't know.
Because if you're sitting there, Rivs, and if I'm going to get ready to bring in four or five new kids into this organization, and there's three or four guys that I'm thinking of getting rid of, for whatever reason, if it's the game ain't there or they don't fit into my mold anymore, I don't want those three or four guys hanging around if I'm bringing new to get a new structure going in this, because I still will say, and I would say this to Army, if I even looked him in the face, and I'd say to him, where's your Mike Keens? Where's your Carbonos? Where's your Ludwigs? Where are these guys? Because I think these are the guys. He's got his core coming to him through the draft and through all these number one picks that he's got. So his core is coming. The future core is on its way. But what are we going to surround the future core with? I'll argue this with anyone. You can have your core like they do in Pittsburgh and Chicago, but the surrounding part gets you the Stanley Cup. And Pittsburgh shows it every year. You know, they got their core. They trade out guys on the third and fourth line, and they keep coming out. And here they are again. They're back in the hunt again.
They keep swapping out those guys. And, you know, and like you alluded to earlier, we did. We talked about the Chicago Blackhawks. And I know St. Louis people, like, they just can't stand to talk about that. However, you know, a lot of people, and I even, you know, we've talked about, and I presented to the group over in the room before we get started, is if I told you 10 years from now we're going to be in a bad situation with some bad contracts and we're going to have overpaid for players, however, we're going to have three Stanley Cups during those 10 years, I guarantee that fans in St. Louis would jump at that. Mm-hmm. They'd take that deal with the devil, so to say, right? Because three Stanley Cups is a lot.
Yep.
And now where Chicago missed the boat is I think they got too deep on a few contracts. They just got the term was too long. Not so much the money was too much, the term was too long. And I think Pittsburgh benefited from being second team to kind of look at that, right? And said, okay, they went a little extreme here. We're not going to go quite as bad. We're going to give Crosby and Malkin some serious deals because, well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And then the rest is somewhat manageable across the board. And now they've managed to swap pieces in and out, like you say, that are third or fourth line guys or even second line guys where if they get to be too much money, they're finding a way to move them on and bring another guy in. So they're moving the pieces around pretty good, and right now they're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, and with the moves they made yesterday and leading up to the deadline, they look like they want to be serious contenders again.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're in the hunt for it. So I think going forward here, and I'll tell you what, I sat by there and I tweeted out some shit yesterday, and I was pissed off. I was. I wanted more to go, and I really, I got no dog. I through doing this podcast when me and you hooked up here, you know, before that, I wasn't really into watching hockey anymore. I was focusing on my kids. So I've got back to the thing where I got to watch the games now. And so if I'm going to goddamn well watch this, I want to see an effort coming at it. And that's what was sort of frustrating to me. And not just me, because I can talk to John Wenzik. I can talk to guys that have played the game before. Now, we come from old school, and we always say that. But still, you got to show a little effort to play the ball game. And That's what I was fighting with, and I'm still fighting with it because I'm not happy with what went on in this thing, and I understand you got to give and take on trade deadline. You can't sell the farm. So Army chose to go one direction here by the looks of it. Obviously, he's kept all his young kids, so that's where he's going to go. It'll be interesting. It's worked before, I guess. The Nordiques went on. They went to Colorado and end up, look what they come out of. They got the Stanley Cups and that. So, you know, there's a way to go about it. This is the way. So fans are going to have to get a little more patience, I believe, because it's going to, you know, rebuilding takes a little bit. It takes 2 or 3 years, and that's where you're at. I don't care if you're rebuilding. I don't care how you do it. I just want to see an effort on the ice. That's all I've ever asked. And you don't have to be the best, but Jesus, guys, you're making a lot of money. Come work. Just come work.
Yeah. And I think the most important thing that you kind of touched on there is, and listeners and fans have to realize, is that we're former players. But we live in St. Louis now. We're raising our families here. Our kids are here. Like, we have more than the average person invested in this team. Like, when they do well, we're happy. When they play hard, when they play good, we come in and we're shooting the shit in here. We're excited. We're happy. And so when things don't go good, maybe are you and I a little more emotional? Chaser, a little more emotional? Well, yeah, because we feel like We want it so bad for these guys. We want it so bad for the fans. We want it so bad for the ownership and all the people involved that you just feel like, God damn it, why are you not giving it everything you have? And I think sometimes when we get to our position, we know how quick it is. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, bam, you're retired and bam, the real world, and bam, it's all gone, yeah, right?
Correct.
And so when knowing that and having that, I guess, that advantage or that insight, sometimes we look at these guys and we're like, you have the world by the balls right now. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Like, why are you not giving it everything you've got every time you touch the ice? Because, God damn it, guess what? Next year it could be gone. Like, it could be.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think that there's a mix of emotions that fly into it from guys like you and I, and we talked about Kelly and things like that. Like, guys who had to play emotional, had to play gritty, had to play in the trenches, had to earn our ice time. I think it gets difficult because we do want it bad for the current guys. We want it bad for the fans, and we want to see winners in St. Louis. I think everybody surrounding Blues Nation deserves a winner.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, when I go about it, I look at the people where my friends that I hang out with and people that I'm around. You know, they're fans of the Blues, but they see shit going on. They see there's no effort. And you know, that's something when someone questions your effort of your hockey team or whatever, you sort of take it personally a little bit because that's you know, the NHL community is so small. And it's not every time Joe Blow or whoever, and I'm not being mean by saying that, I'm just saying not every time a fan can come up and say to a guy that played in the NHL, what's going on, or ask you a question, and you got to sit there. And in the last 2 weeks, I've sat there and answered the same question. Why don't they got any heart? Why is this going on? Why is that going on?
And it's hard to pinpoint. Yeah. How do you answer that, right?
And then it sort of reflects on you because it's not that they're coming after you, but they're...
No, but you feel like it, right? Because you feel like they're attacking a hockey player community.
Correct.
Well, how do these guys not play with heart? And you're like, well, you know, screw you.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it.
It's tough.
I get it. It's hard to sit there and not pity, you know, not woe is me or pity party for us because, you know, we're not even out on the trenches doing it.
Mm-hmm.
However, once again, it circles back to the fact that we give a shit about the team. We care about the community. We care about the fan base. And we want to see these guys do well. So when we get presented with negative questions or comments, like, we want to defend our brotherhood of hockey players.
For sure.
And then, you know, certainly defend the Blues after that. And when you don't have anything to defend with, it sucks. Yeah. It's like being in a fight where you're not allowed to throw a punch.
Yeah.
Right? You just take a beating.
And you're the same as me, though. You're going to be truthful. You can't even dodge what's going on.
So
you have to answer the question truthful. And then you're right. It's like, how do I answer that? I have to answer it the way they're seeing it because they're correct. I'm not going to
Well, you don't want to be full of shit, right?
No,
you don't
sure.
want people to say, hey, well, Kimball, he's just full of shit. He just says what, you know, he thinks is the right thing. Well, no, I mean, it's not right either because I respect the fans. I respect the people around the game, and I have to show enough respect to be honest.
For sure.
So if they're wrong, I'll tell them, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But if they're right, you know, you got to say, hey, you know what, guys? Yeah, you're right. And right now it's not pretty, and right now it should be better.
Correct.
So... tough times right now for the Blues. A little bit of a slump, a lot of a slump. 6-game losing streak. They get a game tonight against Minnesota. Hopefully they pull their stuff together. I know Jake Allen is starting tonight, so hopefully they can get some goals for Jake and maybe kick off a little bit of a winning streak here after the deadline. Once again, this is the Blues NHL podcast. We brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling, Adams Smokehouse, Nelson Landscaping, Synergy Hockey Skills, and all of our other friends out there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow, throw us questions, and certainly tune in, and we'll get back to you guys real soon here with our next episode.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.